Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, since it's snowy and icy and cold and all of that today, I'd like to kind of tell us a story from July 25th, 2005. There was a woman who went to the store, and she left her child in the car, a 25-month-old child in the car, and then lost track of time, and some 15 to 20 minutes later, came back out, tried to get in her car, and realized she locked her keys in the car. And so she kind of freaked out, and so she picked up her cell phone, because of course she remembered her cell phone, and called 911, and 911 answered, and she said, "I need you to send police immediately so that you can have an officer come here so that I can run home and get an extra set of keys to come back." And the operator said, "Look, I tell you what, we're going to have the fire department there. They're just around the block. They'll break the window." And she said, "I have a 1999 Audi. You will not break this window." To which the reporter or the dispatcher said, "Look, would you rather your child died?" Needless to say, she left the scene to go home and get her keys. The fire department showed up. They broke the window. They rescued the 23-month-old boy, and he was taken to the Stamford Hospital, treated and released. The mother was arrested for reckless endangerment. And you'd think that this was the end of the story, but it wasn't, because she lawyered up and then threatened to sue the city for defamation of character, the fire department, and for breaking her window, and law enforcement for not doing so. It ended up settling outside of court, so there wasn't that issue, but people were kind of left because she was so angry because it made her look bad. Okay, it kind of cast her in the wrong light. It's kind of like the New Jersey teacher, Marie Murphy. I don't know if you heard this story. She was in New Jersey, and she got the phone call that her house was on fire. And so she immediately dropped everything from work. She went home. She found that her husband and all of her relatives, they were all outside of the house. And so what do you think she did? She ran into the house to get her season tickets for the Philadelphia Phillies. A little bit later, she was paid a visit at work by the Philadelphia Fanatic, their mascot, and they gave her an award, and they said, "Wow, you're a heck of a fan, but by the way, don't ever do this again. We'll just reprint your tickets." So I share those two stories today as we get ready to wrap up our journey through the book of Jonah. Because what happens when we care so much about certain things? What happens when we are so attached to certain things that we lose our perspective and have the right amount of care of things that should be important to us, things that are critical? Or even worse, what we're going to see today is, are we willing to look in the mirror during those times rather than try to fight it? Today we're going to look at someone who refuses to look in the mirror. And we've been looking at him for several weeks. We're going to continue and wrap up our series called Renegade, looking at the life of the prophet Jonah. Now, we've taken not just from the book of Jonah, we've visited some other parts of Scripture that tell us some things about Jonah that kind of help us understand his character, that he likes to speak positive things to people in power, and he's kind of hesitant to kind of call out people for where they are, and we've journeyed through this, and kind of some rough stuff. And I don't know if you're like me, you've gotten a different perspective of the prophet of Jonah, and I'm not trying to throw shame on Jonah. But I think that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn, and not all of them are positive examples through Jonah's life and decisions. But what we have seen is, in spite of sometimes Jonah's questionable decisions and maybe some questionable character moves, we've seen the heart of God that remains true. So there's been some really good theology that we've learned along our journey today. Let's pick up where we left off last week, where Jonah had gone through the city and he had a 5-word sermon. And those 5-word sermons caused the entire town of Nineveh, the entire great city of Nineveh, to repent. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and we're going to go all the way through chapter 4, verse 1, 2 verses here. When God saw what they did, speaking to the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now, what should the response there be? Okay, what should the response be? Yay! People repented from their wickedness and turned to God. All right, let's look at what Jonah's response was. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Say, what? Is that in Scripture? Yes, it is. I mean, here we see something going on that's very, very disheartening. And there's so many things to talk about in this verse. But the thing that jumps out the most is this is evidence that Jonah was serving without the right heart. That's what I want to talk about here today, is having the correct heart in service. And I know this never happens to us. We never serve with the wrong heart, do we? Right? I got to be honest. This morning, I got out of bed and I looked outside. I took a step outside of my garage and I ended up halfway down the driveway and then did my run to try to get back up. And I had a little powwow with God. So it sounded like, seriously? On Sunday mornings, again? I know I'm the salt of the earth, but I'm getting tired of spreading salt on the earth all day long, every week. You know, it's there. I began to think of, and then it didn't take long, and I had a text message from my friend in Cuba who said, "Good morning, Michael. God bless you. Praying your worship is great." Cubans. So also, you know, it's like a really quick gut check, you know, because here they are, you know, I've told the story over the past several weeks about, you know, making partnership and how the persecution that they face and how they have to constantly watch what they do and kind of having this undercover church type of thing to spread the gospel and to reach out. So the truth is that, yes, there are times that things happen. There are times when the preacher gets long-winded and we look and we think, is the buffet line going to, is there going to be any fried chicken left for us? Can he wrap it up? We get the wrong attitude, don't we? Oh, we don't. I got 7 points today, gang, and that's the case. I can do this all day long. Right. It happens. You know, when I was going through my ministry training, there are things I learned how to do in terms of handle the word, in terms of preach, in terms of youth counsel. And then there's things I didn't learn how to do, which is how to handle people whom you love who get offended when their feelings get hurt or because they don't get recognized equally in service or because there's an oversight. And what's sad is those are the fights that happen in church. They're really difficult and they're really troubling. Those are the things that happen, you know, when people's pride and people's desire to have attention kind of get in. And it happens to all of us. And I hope that we can talk real about these issues. These are the difficult things, as Scripture says, the little foxes that spoil the vines. This church stuff, you know, sometimes it's hard. So Jonah's upset. And let's look at what he's really upset about, going on to verses 2 and 3. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." What are you saying? I want you to go and teach and speak my words to Nineveh, this wicked, evil city. And Jonah says, "I don't want to go because I know that you're the type of God who may forgive them." In other words, I don't like it, God, when you don't act the way that I want you to act. We have that problem ever? Yeah. Yes, we do. We do. We all, are we really comfortable with God being God? Because I think that there's some things that God does that make us very uncomfortable. I don't love that God loves the unlovable. Hang on here. That's a rough statement. And at times I think we really cross that line. Well, yeah, I'm all for it, but I don't want God to really love the person that's deeply hurt me or the person that's betrayed me. Those are the real lessons of Christianity when we put the rubber to the road and find out that will we be willing to worship a God that we do not control? If I had one, large crisis to address in the church in America in 2019, it might very well be this topic. Are we willing to worship a God that we do not control? Because as I've said throughout this series, boy, you're, it's not hard to find books written about that basically say how we can pray to get our way or how we can approach God, how to live, a more blessed life. How can I get the most out of God? And in essence, what we're trying to do is find a way to get the most while giving the least. How can we work the God system? And brothers and sisters, when we get to this is an ethical crisis. We have to look and confront ourselves and ask ourselves these questions. Because the truth is, there are times that we stand in the whale-spit-laden shoes of Jonah. There are times that we are in that very way where we get upset with God. Has anybody ever been upset with God? God, I don't appreciate the way that you have brought me. And if I was in control, it would have been a lot different. Let's go on, gang, because now we can really see what's going on in Jonah's heart. Jonah 4, 3 through 4 says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" I mean, this is some hard, hard stuff. It is so sad to think that we cannot relate to Jonah, but in essence, we really can. So for those of us who've gotten mad at church, which I would say is everybody, for those of us who've gotten frustrated in serving God, because it's hard. It's hard sometimes when you serve people who aren't thankful. Doesn't that just burn your grits, anybody? I said, did you just say burn your grits? I couldn't think of a better thing to say here. Doesn't it get under your skin? How dare those people? Don't they know that we served all day for them and they didn't even say thank you? Is that why we're doing it? Well, here Jonah's saying, I'd rather die. That's a pretty strong statement there, Jonah. And so I guess it's like this. Here's the first point. First point of our message today is when you are upset, look in the mirror and ask yourself this question, why? That's what God submits to us today. Why are you so angry? You can kind of go across the board, not just in your walking with God. Ask yourself, why are you angry? And I would say for a lot of things, we're going to find in the same place of Jonah that God offers us a mirror. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Everybody take a breath and let's read this together, because here's where we see the mirror that God gives us. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Why are you really mad? And what we find out from Jonah is pride. You told me to go tell people, and I knew that it might not come to pass. And I really didn't want this to happen, because I didn't want to tell people that disaster was going to come and then disaster not come. Now you've made me look like a fool, God. Now before you say, wow, Jonah's pretty messed up, a lot of us live in the same place. We really need to look in the mirror and check ourselves. Our pride gets us in trouble with God all the time. And not only that, our pride puts us on the opposite side of the table of the Almighty. Scripture tells us God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Boy, I need the Lord's grace. Anybody else? Because I got to be honest, in my confession, in my personal confession, is I know that I do not control my schedule. I try to. I don't control it. And so there's something that happens, and we joke at the office, you know, when tragedy strikes, it's like, oh, there goes my weekend. There goes my vacation. There goes my family time. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Last time I checked, I gave my life to the Lord. And then I quickly want to catch an attitude. Now I got to get up an extra hour early and go spread salt. And someone hung on the cross for me to gripe about that? Wow, gang. Wow. You see, I'm glad that we're in this study because it's quite timely how God shines the light in His Word that we can look and it's a mirror to us. Look in the mirror and remember, because my second point is this. Go ahead and put it on the screen if you would. God does things with which we don't agree. That's point two. I wish He did everything that I agreed with, but He doesn't. You know, Isaiah 55, for my way as higher as the heaven and the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. The bottom line is this: God does things God's way, and God's way really is, in fact, better. And I know we don't get that, and I know it's difficult in those times, though. You know, when we look at what's going on with Jonah, I don't see God just throwing him away. God is giving Jonah the same grace that He gave Nineveh, and Jonah's just too much of a blockhead right now to recognize it. And before we throw shame on Jonah, we're too much of a blockhead too to recognize that God is giving us grace when we get an attitude. Amen? All right, gang. God does things with which we don't agree. And in those times, that's when we know that God, in fact, still loves us. And here's where we encounter some really good theology. This is some sound theology you can take to the bank, is that God is patient with us. Anybody happy about that? I'm very, very happy. I'm very thankful. Think the God that Jonah was really wanting to see was the same God that then would have wiped him out by now, don't you think? And yet He continued to sustain him. He continued to give him other chances. And we find that that's the God that we worship, is one who is very patient with us because we don't have it all together. We're working these ways. In those times, God still loves us. You know, it's like that kid, you're at the grocery store and they throw the fit and you kind of see it and you kind of feel for the mom. You're like, oh, I recognize it. Here's how I feel for it, because I've been in that position. You know, we've had our issues. I'm not going to say which kid it was, but we have one of our children in particular, that would always wait, maybe perfect little angel, until there was a crowd of people around, and then they'd decide to throw a four-alarm fit. Because you can't do what you want to do when people are watching, right? They're not good. People aren't going to be in the car, Blondie. So anyway, as it is, as we go forward, you know, you feel like that. There are times where God drags us along kicking and screaming, doesn't He? There are times that happen. I'm thankful that, you know, that just like our children, they grow and they mature through these things, that God is allowing us the same thing when we are acting a whole lot like Jonah here. I mean, let's look at Jonah. Our reactions and even our decisions, I'm grateful for this. They don't change God's character. Let that sink in. Our actions and even our decisions do not change God's character. Man, that's a good God. That's an awesome God. Jonah chapter 4, 5 through 8. And Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for who? Boy, so he's really in the right vein here, right? Okay. And he sat under it in the shade till he would see what would become of the city. What do you think he was wanting to see? I just want to see Whoville sing, Tare, Tore, Tare, Tore. Welcome, welcome, Christmas. No, the Grinch is up there grinching. He's so mad he's planking, okay? He goes, and now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, this is, by the way, this is the third time now that Jonah has said, I'd rather die than do what you want me to do. And before we say, you know, try to chase a rabbit here, the truth is many of us hold on to our own will rather than yield to the will of God. Here's what Jonah said. It's better for me to die than to live. Why was Jonah glad for the plant? Was it because of the plant? You know, was he a person who's going to, you know, celebrate Arbor Day? What's with it? No, it was because of what it did for him. He liked the plant because of what the plant provided for him. And now here's the kicker. Why did the plant, who appointed the worm? God appointed the worm. Boy, I thought about that. And this really got to me this week. I think at times, God appoints worms in our life. Understand what I'm saying. There are times that Satan attacks. There are times. I will give you that. Absolutely. There are times that Satan attacks. There are also times that we are out there. You ever been out there? Yes. You're out there in your bitterness, your anger, your resentment, your refusal to conform to who God called and wanted you to be. And God gives you grace for a season. And then after grace, God will appoint a worm. And for some of us, I think looking in the mirror, we need to get dewormed. We need to recognize that the worm is in fact appointed. I don't know why that one came from, but I backed it up real quickly. We heard you, preacher. Yeah. Some of us, the deal is God appointed, He appoints some worms in our lives so that He can get us to the place of having a revelation. There are some times that in fact that season that is upon you is in fact God ordained and God appointed, not because He's a mean, angry, vicious, vengeful God, but because He loves you so much that He's recognizing Jonah. Do you really look like you're enjoying your life right here? Are you walking in the fullness of the purpose and the fullness of the attitude that I have for you? No! Brings me to my final point, gang. Let's go on. Because the truth is, we can get on the wrong side of God. We can get absolutely on the wrong side of God. You know, and that's what happens when we say, I don't want my window smashed. And I'm not even thinking straight about my child. That's when we run into burning buildings. What are the burning buildings that you're running into to grab something that really has nothing to do with eternity? What are the decisions that we get ourselves so out of place with God that we make foolish decisions and we use poor judgment and we don't think about eternity? And for some of us, it's our schedule. For some of us, it's our anger. For some of us, it's our pride. For some of us, it's our possessions. For some of us, it's our financial well-being. For some of us, it's that illusion of control. We have to watch it, gang. I feel that many of us are unwilling to have certain windows smashed that God needs to smash to rescue us. And for some of us, we're rushing into places that God would say, boy, you don't need to be wasting your time. And as a parent dealing with kids with schedules, boy, I sure feel that. Trying to figure the balance out of this thing that we now call our modern society. Don't quit wrestling. Jonah 4, 9 through 11. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? Again, anytime that God asks a question, it's not because He lacks knowledge. God asks questions so that He can impart revelation. He asks questions for our benefit. Jonah said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. You are a fool. I mean, seriously. No, okay. And so God, in the loving, gracious Father that we see in conclusion of the book, here's how the book ends. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Here's my last point, gang. You can look like a servant and still be lost. I grow very weary of continuing to lose friends in ministry for compromise. I grow weary of reading the papers. I grow weary of scandals. I grow weary of those things. The truth is, we would protect ourselves an awful lot if we would continue to look in the mirror of God's Word effectively and understand that He's trying to deal with some things inside of us. You know, I also grow weary of how callous we have become to life. And it might be the battle of our generation. And the church has been way too silent for way too long to understand that this is the watershed moment. This is something that we just can't allow, that we have to understand. We have folks in our society who get so up in arms about, okay, yeah, and I get it. I love animals. I love my dog, Ollie. You all Instagram people are saying, yeah, I have my little dog. You know, I tell my little dog. My dog is a very smart thief. I had two leftover steaks from Valentine's Day dinner, and I cooked them and had them on our stove, and Lainey and I were able to eat one. And then we left for a moment, and we came back in. The steaks were gone. The pans were on the floor, and the burners on the stove were on. That smart little guy was going to wipe out the evidence. He had established an alibi, and he was destroying the evidence. Yeah. And we can get so upset about animals, and so upset about this, and so, which are great. I love them. Yeah, great. And not care one iota of life or protect the innocent. Brothers and sisters, wake up. You can look like a servant and still be lost. So the question for us is, will we love those whom God loves? That's the question for Jonah. And the other question for Jonah, as I mentioned earlier, is our pride. Is really beginning to understand. That's the reason Jonah was upset, is he didn't want to look like a fool. He didn't want for his word to not come to pass. By the way, God's word did come to pass. Nineveh was overthrown. They were overthrown to yield to the power of God. That was the greatest overthrowing that happened, and Knucklehead can't see it straight because he's only got his eyes on one thing. Oops. I pray for parents and families that we would take special note of this thought. What are the windows that we're hesitant to break to rescue those whom God has prompted us to rescue? The windows of pride, the windows of status, the windows of reputation. And what are the silly things that we run into the fire and risk eternity to try to retrieve? What is important, so important that we should forget about the eternity for our children? Brothers and sisters, will you allow God to challenge your perceptions and your priorities? I pray that we'll get a fresh heart for the lost. And the way we do this is to look in the mirror. Let's all stand to our feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.